So we're beginning here on the top of Hey, I Might Outlive, 13 lines down. Just to give us a perspective of what's transpired in the Gemara so far, we actually have three Tanaic sources, and those three Tanaic sources are causing us some consternation because they don't seemingly all agree or have the same concept. The concept that we're discussing is Nidon Bichvodo, which is the idea that if you are Makdish, a certain portion of an item, that item itself is not only kadosh for the portion that you were makdish, but it spreads to the entirety of the item. That is learnt out of the word nefashot that we find by Arachin. That word tells us that it's the entire being, not just a part of the being that you are ma'arich. So that was what we started with. That was in the Braita yesterday. Then we had Roba and our Gemara, but the Girsas changed by many of the Rishonim. We'll see it again in Tosfot today to Rabba. Comes along and says that for a tumtum and androgynous, that they are included for the world of Arachin. So the Braita says, well, obviously it's not in the world of Arachin, because there we said Zachar Vadai, Nikeva Vadait. So Rashi says, Im Einu the Inyan Arachin, Tneu the Inyan Damim. The Gemara says, Damim, Pshita. Anything that has value can be donated to the Mikdash. You can donate a tree, a chair, and donate anything. So why should it be that if you say the damim of an atumtum and androgynous are donated to the Mikdash, then why shouldn't it be the case that you can assess them and figure out what that value is and donate it? That's way too simple. So Rabbo's chiddush is that nidon bichvodo. When it comes to damim, that not only by arachin do we apply this din of nefashot, we also apply it to damim. When you donate the value of something to the Mikdash, if you donate a portion of the item, it spreads the entire item, and you're donating the whole item. So that's what got us started. Abaye challenged that, and then we challenged Abaye's challenge, because the challenge that Abaye brings is a question on himself as well as on Rabba. And then Rabba concluded that that's not a problem. Ha bikodshe berek Abaye, ha bikodshe mizbeach. So now, the first thing we have is the Gemara here in Arachin, which says that Rabba told us that things are nidon bichvodo, that we concluded is speaking about kodshe berek habayit. When you're donating money to the mikdash, then in that case, it's nidon bichvodo. If you donate a specific part of an animal, it'll spread to the entirety of an animal. You're donating the value of someone's head, it's going to spread to the entirety of their body. It's really like you're donating their entire value to the mikdash. That's true by berek habayit. The problem was we had a tosefta in Arachin. The Tosefta in Arachin says that if I donate the Rosh of an Eved, the Rosh of a Chamor, the Rosh of a Parah, we're able to separate those away, and you become a Shutaf with Hekdesh, either 50-50, maybe according to the Rambam, the Rosh versus the rest of the goof, but you are a partner. We don't say, Nidon Bichvodo. So that's what presented the problem for Rabbo, and that's why he said, well, you got it mixed up. What we were talking about until now was Kodshe Berek Abayit. That Tosefta in Arachin is speaking about Kodshe Mizbeach. So Kodshe Mizbeach, over there, we don't apply Nidon Bichvodo. Mar says, are you so sure about that? We have a Braita in Tmura. The Braita in Tmura says, if you're Makdish, regular Olah, or according to those that believe you need something that Neshama Tfuyaba, Rosh Olah, if you donate a head of an animal to an Olah, it spreads to the entirety of the goof. That's Kodshe Mizbeach, and it's spreading to the entirety of the goof. What we left off with yesterday is there's a difference between Kodshe Mizbeach LeDamim and Kodshe Mizbeach LeGufo. That Braita in Tmura is speaking about Kodshe Mizbeach LeGufo. When you're Magdish, the actual animal to go on the Mizbeach, and it's Ra'oi the Mizbeach, if you're Magdish, just the leg, according to those that you need Evesh and Nishmatuyaba, if you donate the head, this go on the Mizbeach, it spreads to the entirety of the goof of the animal, and the entire animal goes on the Mizbeach. The entire animal is an Olah. That's how we solved that problem. But the Tosefta and Arachin is speaking about Kodshe Mizbeach LeDamim. LeDamim means you're donating the value of this item to purchase a korban that will go on the Mizbeach. It's not like Berek Abayit where you're donating the monies to the Mikdash. Here you want it to go to the Mizbeach, just not this particular item. You want the value of this item to use to be purchased something that will go on the Mizbeach. So here we have three sources, three different categories of halacha, and the din will be different. If Rava or Rabba's din, that of Nidon Bichvodo, by Arachin, by Damim, that's all Kodshe Berek Abayit. That's what Arachim are. They're Kodshe Berek Abayit. So anything that's Kodshe Berek Abayit, Nidon Bichvodo. We also have the Braita in Tmura that we just quoted, That's speaking about Kodshei Mizbeach Lugufam. When you're putting the actual animal or limb of the animal on the Mizbeach, over there we say again, Nidom Bechvodo, and it's Pashta Bechol Gufo, the entire animal is Kadosh to go on the Mizbeach. The middle position is this Tosefta in Arachin that says that if you donate the head of an animal, the head of an Eved to the Mizbeach Lidamim, over there it's Enu Nidom Bechvodo. Does not spread to the entirety of the animal or the entirety of the Eved, and therefore the value of whatever you donated will be segregated out, and you'll take those monies and give them to the Mikdash. Now, as the Ben Gershon points out, it makes sense, because when it comes to Kodshei Mizbeach, you can't shecht an animal and say, half of it's going to the Mizbeach, half of it's going to Chulin. So it makes sense that it spreads to the entirety of the animal. But Kodshei Damim, where you can split the item into its values, then that value that you dedicated will go to the Mizbeach. The value you didn't dedicate won't go to the Mizbeach. So there's a logic behind it as well. That's where we're up to. Now the Gemara says, V'ha'amar hu da'amar. This is the tipping point for the Rishonim. This is why Tosafot says it's definitely speaking about Rabbah, because Abaye is speaking here. He's saying, V'ha'amar, my master. He does not say, my master, to Rabbah. He says that to Rav Yosef, he says that to Rabbah is Rebbeim, he doesn't say it to Rabbah. For that reason, the Tosafot says the Girsa in this entire Gemara should be Rabbah and not Rabbah. So he says, V'ha'amar hu da'amar, Magdish Zachar Lidamav. Someone is Magdish, a male animal, for its Damim to go to the Mizbeach, Kadosh Kedushat Aguf. Then the entire animal ends up on the Mizbeach. It becomes Kadosh B'Kedushat Aguf. So here, this upends what we've said until now. Right now, we just suggested when you donate the value to the Mizbeach, there's no Nidom Bechvodo. Whatever you donated goes, that's it. Over here, you're donating the value to the Mizbeach, and all of a sudden it ends up on the Mizbeach. That sounds like the Kedusha spreads, or that there's more Kedusha than you ever intended for. That goes against what Rabbah proposed before, that Kedusha Damin Mizbeach is Eino Nidon Lechvodo. Lo Kasha. Rabbah says, that's not a problem. Ha Da'aktish Kula, Ha Da'aktish Chadever. Depends on how much of the animal you were Makdish. In the case where you're Makdish Kula, if you're Makdish, the entire animal, for its value to go on the Mizbeach, we say, Migo, that their Kedushat Damim goes on this animal, then Nachtalei Kedushat Aguf. It converts into Kedushat Aguf. Here's an animal that's Ra'oi the Mizbeach, and you could have given it to the Mizbeach. Instead, you say, I'm going to give its value to the Mizbeach, the entire animal. The Torah says, that doesn't work, because Migo, that you created Kedushat, the entire animal of Kedushat Damim, it also upgrades it and automatically elevates to Kedushat Aguf. That's only when you were Makdish the entire animal. Over here we're not speaking about Nigdom Bichvodo. Not even about the Kedusha spreading. We're simply talking about an upgrading of the Kedusha from Kedushat Damim to Kedushat Aguf. That can work. That's what I was speaking about. But if you're Makdish one Aver, one limb of the animal, then that's just the value of that limb is what's going to the Mizbeach. It doesn't then spread to the remainder of the animal. And the entire thing become Kadosh B'Kedushat Aguf. Where it says, Chad Ever Nami Ibuye Ibayilon. Again, this is another piece of evidence that it's Abaye speaking to his Revi Rabbah. He says, you asked us this question in the plurality. If he's speaking to Rabbah, he should have said, you asked me this question, or we discussed this. Here he's saying, you asked this question of us, which makes it sound like Abaye speaking to his Revi. So again, it's Rabbah. You asked us this question. The Abaye Rabbah, again, because the gears that we're following. Hikdish Aver Lidamav. Someone is Makdish an Aver, a single Aver, Lidamav for its value. Mahu, what's the din there? So again, if you think you're so certain there that the Braita says when you have one Aver it doesn't spread, why are you asking the question? That if it's one Aver, does it spread or does it not spread? Says Ki Bailon. So Rabbah again says, you have to distinguish. Bitam, when I ask the question, when you have a Behema, Tam. Ba'ocha Bibalmum. Dumya de Chamor. By Balmum, there's no question. So again, we bifurcate the din here. Within the world of Kedushat Mizbeach Lidamim, we've already split between if you're Makdish the whole animal, then it converts from Kedushat Damim to Kedushat Aguf. Versus when you Makdish the Aver, then it doesn't spread. Even when you're Makdish the Aver, there's a difference between whether you're Makdish a Behemat Tam, or you're Makdish a Behemat Balmum. And what Rabba says is, if you're makdish a behemat tam, that's where I have a question. I have a question. When you're makdish one aver of a behemat tam, lidamav, for its value, what happens in that case? And Rashi describes what the question is, do we say trei migo? Do we say a double migo? You can formulate it. Rashi brings it actually in both ways. He actually soter himself in the way that he describes it. But the Shita Mikubetza tries to fix the Girsa, so Rashi only says it one way. So I'll say the first way that the Shita Mikubetza thinks Rashi says it, which is, do I say that the Aver that you were Makdish is the Kedushat Damim, but this is a Behema that's Roi the Mizbech? And like when we said before, if you're Makdish, the entire animal, the Damav, the Mizbech, converts into Kedushat Aguf. Say that by the single Aver as well. You were Makdish, a single Aver, the Damav, of a Behema that's Tam. So just like that is Kedushat Damim, it'll elevate to Kedushat Aguf. Once it's Kedushat Aguf, we know that it spreads to the entirety of the animal. So that's a double Migo. You could formulate it the other way around, which you could just simply say, do you say that since you were Makdish the one Aver, it spreads to the entirety of the animal? And now you have a whole animal with Kedushat Damim, and then Migo, that it's Kedushat Damim, it elevates to Kedushat Aguf. The first way expressed it is a little easier because that's more obvious that maybe it should spread. So the question there, and this Rabba leaves as a question, which is, do we say double Migo? We'll say one Migo. Do we say two Migos over here? And if we do say two Migos, then by a Tam, I have a question, whether it'll spread. Ba'mum, over there, I have no question. It's not going to spread, because the Ba'mum's not Ra'oi Limizbeach. So you can't make the statement that if it is Kadosh B'Kedushat Damim, it should elevate Kedushat Aguf. And then from goof should spread to the entirety of the animal because it's a balmum. And a balmum doesn't have that status of kedushat haguf. And his proof that that is true is the breita itself. The Tosefta from Arachin used as examples Rosh Eved, Rosh Chamor, and then Rosh Para. So Rosh Para, Dumya, the Rosh Chamor and Rosh Eved. Rosh Chamor and Rosh Eved clearly aren't items that go on the Mizbeach. So too, the Rosh Para is something that doesn't go on the Mizbeach. And so that's what Rabbo says over here. The distinction is between a Tam and a Balmum. My question was about a Tam. Do we say, Ki Bailan B'Tam? That's why I asked the question. Hikdish Ever the Damav, Mahu. Do we say double Migo? Hocha, the Breita, the Tosefta from Arachin, is B'Balmum, Dumya de Chamor. It's similar to the Chamor, so the Para there is a Balmum. Where it says, Balmum, nama iboye iboyelon. Baikin says, wait a minute, even by a Balmum Rabbo, you propose the same or similar question to Bai Rabbo. Demei Roshi legabe Mizbeach. Demei Roshi means the value of my head should be donated to the Mizbeach. Mao, what's the din there? So there, it's the equivalent of a Balmum, and now you're asking the same question. Does it spread? When you say the value of my head is to the Mizbeach, does that mean exactly that, the value of my head is to the Mizbeach? Or am I saying the value of my head, which then means the entirety of my being, because my head is one Aver, that is Nidon Bichvodo, that spreads the rest of the body, because it's definitely an Aver, Shen Neshamat Luyabo. So he's asking the question, even by a Baumul, Ki Bayilon, when that question was posed, Mikame Da'ash Malahamat Nita, that's before he saw the Tosefta in Arachim. Hashta Dishamahamat Nita, or now that he heard, or now that he saw the Breita from the Tosefta and Arachin, lo mi bailon, we don't have a question anymore. Now we know that it doesn't spread. So here is the conclusion. The Gemara is going to go back over this a little bit, but the conclusion is now that we have, again, two obvious categories. That one category is Dushat Arachin, Dushat Damim, Levetic Abayit. Over there we definitely say Nidon Bichvodo, and if you commit to an Averish and a Shemat Liyabo, it's going to spread to the entirety of the being or the item that you are donating to the Mikdash. There's another category where it's obvious, which is when you're Makdish Kedushat Aguf. When you say, I'm going to put a particular Aver on the Mizbeach, over there we also say for sure it spreads. If it's Aver Shein Neshamat Tluyabo, everybody agrees that it spreads. If it's an Aver Shein Neshamat Tluyabo, we saw there was a Machloket Tanaim as to whether it spreads or not. But there again, Nigdom Bechvodo applies across the board. The question comes off with the Tosefta and Arachin, which is the case of Kedushat Damim Limizbeach. By Kedushat Damim Limizbeach, do we say Nidon Bechvodo? Over there we have a number of trees that break off from it. If it is a situation when you're makdish the entire animal, damim lemizbech, and it's ra'oy to go on the mizbech, then automatically it becomes kedushat aguf, it elevates, and becomes kadosh kedushat aguf, and it will go on the mizbech. If it's one aver, then we have to split between what type of animal we're speaking about. If it's an aver of a tam, which is an animal that could be on the mizbech, that we leave as unresolved, that we don't know what the answer is to that, because we don't know if we invoke two migos, only one migo, and having a behema tam, where you are makdish, one aver, l'damim, l'mizbech, needs two migos to end up on the mizbech. Migo that you have kdushat damim, it turns into kdushat aguf, and a migo that you have kdushat aguf, one aver, it spreads to the other averim, that we don't know, that we leave as unresolved, that's the question of Rabbo. The question of a balmum, if you're makdish l'damim, one of its avarim, does it spread to the remainder of the animal? The answer to that is no. Eino nido mechvodo, and that's because of the braita. That's the Tosefta Arachin. Rosh Eved, Rosh Para, Rosh Kamor, that's it. It's only the value of those items, or 50-50 split with Hekdesh. That's the only thing that happens over there. There is no spreading of the Kedusha to the entirety of the animal. So that's the summary of what we saw until now. All right, Gufa, the Gemara goes back. Boy Rabba, Demei Roshi, the Gavi Mizbeach. Person donates his value of his head to the Mizbeach. Mahu, what's the din there? Nidon Bichvodo. Oh, ain't no Nidon Bichvodo. Do we say that it spreads, or do we not say that it spreads? Lo Ashkachan B'damim, De'eno Nidon Bichvodo. We don't find that by Arachin, Damim, that it doesn't spread. I mean, that's what we found already. That by Bedeka Bayit, those items definitely spread to the entirety of the item. O Dilma, Lo Ashkachan D'gamiz Be'ach, Nidon Bichvodo. Or, when it comes to Damim L'mizbeach, we don't find the concept that it spreads to the entirety of the animal. So which one is it governed by over here? You have the Damim, which makes it like Bedeka Bayit, but you have the Mizbeach that makes it like Mizbeach. So which one will govern over here? Is it the Damim side or the Mizbeach side? Teku. That's an unresolved issue. The truth is, it's not unresolved. That's what Tosafot says over here. That is, Hainu Mekame Deshmainen Matnita Delel. That's before we heard the Breita from Arachin. The Tosefta in Arachin told us that when you do Dmei Roshi, that it's not Nidon Bichvodo. So this is a question that Rabba posed before he saw the Tosefta in Arachin. Like we might have said before, once we saw the Tosefta in Arachin, then we know the answer to this question, which is, Eino Nidon Bichvodo. When you do Dmei Roshi, Damim Lemizbeach, that is a balmum with an Eiver Echad, and that the Breita tells us doesn't spread to the entirety of the individual, and you only have to pay the value of the head, not the value of the entire person. Boy Rabo, the question here is whether this continues to be Rabo, or this is Rabo. If it's Rabo, then it's an independent question. If it's Boy Rabo, then the Balei Tos would say, then it should say Imtim Salomar, and you can see in the Shita Mikubetzet, he actually has this Imtim Salomar in there in Ot Yud Chet, where he says that Imtim Salomar, if you say B'Demei Roshi D'Gami Zbeach, De'enu Nidon Bichvodo, if you say that by D'Mei Roshi it's not Nidon Bichvodo, which is the conclusion that we come to based on the Tosefta in Arachin, then I have the following question, which is Erki Alai L'Gabe Mizbeach. He says, I'm going to donate my Erech to the Mizbeach. So he's not doing Arachin because Arachin go to Bedeka Bayit. The other hand, he's not really doing Damim L'Mizbeach because he's not giving his value to the Mizbeach. He's giving his Erech based on the tables of Arachin to the Mizbeach. Mao, what's the din there? Nidon B'Hesek Yad or Nidon B'Hesek Yad? The concept of Hesek Yad only exists by Arachin. Doesn't exist outside the world of Arachin. By Arachin, you have a special dispensation that if you can't afford the full amount, you go to the Kohen, he assesses how much you can afford, you pay that, and you discharge your obligation, you're done. In any other donation you make to Mikdash, you don't get that dispensation. You don't get a special discount because you can't afford it. So now, here, he's mixing two concepts. He's valuing himself based on his Erech, but he's not doing what you normally do with Erech, which is give it to Bedek Abayit, he's giving it to the Mizbeach, Damim the Mizbeach. So, what do we say? Lo Asherchan Barachin, Deini Dom Bezek Yad, is the primary force here the Arachin, because his value is being determined by the tables in the Torah of Arachin. And by Arachin, you have a din of Hesek Yad. Or do we say by Mizbeach, there's no such concept as Hesek Yad? So which one governs over here? Teiku, Again, an unresolved issue. Now, again, if you say by Rav Ashi, so now, if you think this is Rav Ashi, then it's maybe a separate question. Once again, the Balei Tosafot said that this is in him intim salomar, and you can see that continuing in the Shita Mekubetzer Od Yudchet, where he says, the intim salomar, kol legabe mizbeach, eino nidon bichvodo. If you say that everything that goes to the mizbeach is not nidon bichvodo, and or not nidon behesek yad, because it's not governed by Arachin, it's governed by the mizbeach, then I have the following question for you. Bai Rav Ashi, hikdish steachuza legabe mizbeach. If you donate your field that is an inherited field to the mizbeach, obviously your field doesn't go on the mizbeach, means you're donating the value of your field to the mizbeach. Mao, what's the din here? Steachuza in Vayikra Chavzayin has a special status, which we'll spend a lot of time on later on in Arachin, which is that a steachuza, when you donate it to the mikdash, the bedek abayit, is not redeemed at its true value. It's redeemed at a fixed value of 50 shekel zerach omer seorim. Based on that area or that quantity of land, you pay 50 shekel, and that's how you redeem it from Hekdesh. So there, you don't go by true value, you go by a fixed value. It's very similar to Arachin, whereby the gender and the age determine the price, not the real value. So Dovir, steachuza is determined at least for bedek abayit based on that fixed exchange ratio. So that's the question. Mi amrina lo ashkechan steachuza de mifrika ele beit zerach omer seorim mechamishim shekel kesef. The only thing the Torah ever speaks about with regards to a steachuza is this formula for redemption. Chamishim shekel beit zerach omer seorim. That's it. So maybe the same thing here. You redeem it at that value. The value you'll give to the mizbeach. Odilma lo ashkechan legam mizbeach de mifrika ele bishovyo. Or do we find by mizbeach, the only thing we find by mizbeach in Perach of Zayin Vayikra speaks about many things that go to mizbeach. Over there, when you're donating damin mizbeach, you have to give the value that it is, the real value of what it is. And since by mizbeach we only find real value, maybe over here too it should be treated like real value. Teiku, unresolved as to what governs here when you donate a steachuza damim the mizbeach, what happens? If it was given to Bedek Abayit, we know what happens. If it was any other item that was given to Damim the Mizbeach, we also know what happens. In the first case, there's a fixed exchange ratio. In the second case, it is its true value. Here, where you're mixing and matching, you're taking a steachuza, giving the Damim the Mizbeach instead of the Bedek Abayit, the question is, which governs over there? And that we leave as a teiku, as an unresolved issue. Next Mishnah, Pachot mi ben chodesh. The tables in the Torah for Arachim begin at mi ben chodesh ulamalot. It's from ben chodesh to chamesh shanim is the first category. If you then donate our erech of an individual who's less than 1 month old, nidar aval no nerach. That type of baby can only have neder, can't have arachim that are associated with it, because there's no erech for that child below a chodesh. There is a value, and therefore you can be no der. It might be a minimal value, but there is a value, and therefore you can be no deret. Tan Rabbanan, hamarich pachod mi ben chodesh. So here's the question. What happens if you do it anyway? It says you can't have erachim below a chodesh. You can have nidarim. You can have damim below a chodesh. What happens if you do it anyway and you say, I'm giving the erach of this individual who's less than a month old, I'm giving it to the mikdash. Rabbi Omer dotein damav. Rabbi Omer says it flips into a neder, and now you give the damim. Kamim omrim lo amarkum. He said a meaningless statement. B'mai kamif legei. What is their argument about? Rabbi Meir savar in adam motzi dvarav levatala. A person does not speak in vain. Yudeya she'en arachin lepachot mi ben chodesh. He knows that there's no concept of erech for less than a month old. The gamar amar l'shem damim. And therefore, when he said erech, he really meant damim, because he knows there's no such erech, and we have to reinterpret his words so they have meaning. And they will only have meaning if it is damim. Tosafot over here says, v'afilu enu yudeya. The gemara here seems to say, because he knows, therefore he changed it in. Tosafot says, even if he doesn't know, why? Because mikom makom dato al pishe tiknu chachamim alashon. His intent is to donate. He doesn't realize there's no erachin, so he wants his words or his nether to have meaning. So whatever way it'll have meaning, that's how we'll interpret it. So we don't even ask him if he knew whether there was a concept of erachin below. We'll assume that he knows that he wanted to donate. He didn't realize you can't donate this way. So he'll go by what the chamim reinterpret his statement to mean, that it's damim. That's how Tosafot explains it. Even though he finds other places where when you say something that's not what you wanted, that there it doesn't work. So there Tosafot says that's in a case where what you say is different from what you're thinking. There it's a mistake, and a mistake won't work. Over here, it's a different thing. Either the mistake is that he thought you could give arachin, but he said exactly what he thought. He thought he wanted to do this, and he articulated the same thing. Then we'll reinterpret his words to be something meaningful. Or if you learn that, like Rashi on the next Talmud says, says he made a mistake, implying that over here, he knows for sure. Which is Rashi, as opposed to Tosfot, says, when he says, people know, it means he really does know. If he didn't know, it would be a mistake and it wouldn't count. Tosfot says, even if you don't know, it's not a mistake. But because of that, we reinterpret his words to mean something meaningful. Because he didn't make a mistake. He simply either articulated it in a way that shouldn't have been done that way, and he really meant damim and not erech. Or, even if he didn't know that, he wanted to donate, so the chachamim helped to reinterpret his words to be something that is a donation. Rabbanan sabe, adam motzi dvarav lebatala. Chachamim say, people make mistakes. They don't understand, they don't know the nuances, and they make a mistake. Kemana azlahad amar Rav Gidol, amar Rav. Who does this follow, this statement of Rav Gidol, amar Rav? Obviously, it's the other way around. Who are they following? Because this is an Amora statement versus Tanaim statement. Homer erech kli alai. Person says, I'm going to give the erech of this utensil to the Mikdash. Notain damim. You have to give the monies to the Mikdash. The damim, the bedek abayit damim, because kli or kelim don't have erech to them. Mar says, ki Rabbi Meir. That's according to Rabbi Meir. Mar says, pshita, dikid Rabbi Meir atya. Of course, this is following Rabbi Meir's opinion. He's the one who says, Ein motzi adam devarav lebatala. And if you say it by the case of erech, where there's a chance you could make a mistake that you think that below a month is subject to arachin, over here by a kli, there's no mistaking that there's no erech. They don't even exist, the world of arachin, by klilim. So certainly if you deem it to be a mistake that we reinterpret by less than ben chodesh, then certainly you're going to say it by a kli. Maudatayma, the Gemara says, what I would have thought is, afiluk rabbonon. Even the rabbonon agree over here. Haltamudatoy, there he made a mistake. Sabarki echadiki arachin the ben chodesh, you can have the pachot ben chodesh. He thought, just like there's arachin for 1 month to 5 years, there's also another table for less than 1 month. He just didn't know that that was excluded from the tables, that there's a minimum. Over here, where there's no uncertainty about whether there's a kli in the tables, they don't exist. It's only for human beings. And therefore he said for sure it's l'shem damim. Kamash malon, that the Rabbanan don't say that. And they say that it's still problematic over here by a kli. If you said the wrong thing, that's exactly what you get. The wrong thing, and it doesn't work. Whereas Rabbi Meir will say, obviously in this case, will say that it is reinterpreted to be a neder. And in the case of Ben Chodesh, he will also say that it's reinterpreted to be a neder. Ode Rabbi Meir, the Maid Itzrich. So now, according to Rabbi Meir, why do you need Rav Gidol Amarav to tell you this? Taimo, the Rabbi Meir Hotom, the Gazar Pachot Mi Ben Chodesh, Atu Ben Chodesh. Because maybe over there, the reason that he says that we're going to interpret your words to be meaningful is because if you do it less than Ben Chodesh, you might start to think when you do it more than Ben Chodesh, that also there it's not meaningful. So in order to prevent that problem, we say, when you say less than Ben Chodesh, we're going to make you pay anyway. But, over here, there's no reason to be goes there. If you call it Erech Kli, which is outside the world of Erechim completely, maybe over there you don't need to make Gzeira. Aim alone. Maybe Rabbi Meir would not say that. Kamash Malan, that Rabbi Meir says it even in that case. So what we've now determined is, Taima de Rabbi Meir, Dein Adam Motzi Dvarav Lidvatala. The reasoning behind Rabbi Meir's position is that a person never speaks in vain. Doesn't matter whether you're talking about erech of less than Ben Chodesh, or you're talking about the erech of a kli. Rabbi Meir will always reinterpret your words to be meaningful. That's whether it's a gross misunderstanding, or whether it's a minor misunderstanding. Whatever it is, we're going to try to make your words have meaning in the context. Again, Tosfot says, even if you didn't know it, we're going to reinterpret your words. According to Rashi, it sounds like only if you understood that you made a mistake over here, you understood that you can't do such a thing. But if you made an absolute mistake, then maybe even Rabbi Meir would agree that we don't reinterpret your words because you really made a mistake. And a mistake, you can't be makdish something, you can't be donating something. It's not a commitment. Now, Gemara says, Kaman azla hadamar rabba bar Rav Yosef, amar Rav. Who is this following? V'amri la, amar Rav Yeva bar Yosef, amar Rav. a difference about which Amora was quoting Rav, but it comes from Rav in either case. Hamagdish beimat chaveiro. Someone has magdish his friend's animal. No dain damah. He's got to pay the value of that animal. Come on. Who is that like? Mar says, ki Rabbi Meir. That's like Rabbi Meir. You can't be makdish your friend's animal. You have no ownership or control over that animal. You're lacking on both fronts. That Rabbi Yochanan has a statement that the Gemara brings in a number of places that you need to have both actual ownership and control to be makdish it. That's why if a ganav is holding the behemah, owner can't be makdish it because he doesn't have control. The ganav can't be makdish it because he doesn't own it. But over here, you have neither. It's your friend's animal. You don't have ownership. You don't have control. So you fail because you're being makdish your friend's animal. So now Rav says you still have to pay the value of the animal to the mikdash. So that sounds like Rabbi Meir, which is ein motzi adam devarav debatala. He knows he can't be makdish his friend's animal. Therefore, we say that he meant to say, I'm going to give the value of that animal to the mikdash. We interpret his words to be something meaningful. Amra Rav chadazimno. Wait a minute, this is the second time Rav's giving us an example of something that Rabbi Meir said. He just said before, Erech Kli Alai, and we reinterpret the words. So we know that his positions are following Rabbi Meir, so then why do you need to tell me the same thing again? So Gemara says, Damar Gido Amar Rav, Omer Erech Kli Alai, Notein Tavav. So we saw that reinterpretation of a statement that doesn't have meaning into a meaningful statement like Rabbi Meir. So Malu Deteima, I would have thought, Hotam Hu Diyodea, Shein Erech Kli. There again, he knows that there's no Erech Lekli. B'gamar v'amar l'shem damim. And then, therefore, he must have meant, or he intended for it to be for the damim, because that's the only meaningful thing he could have said. And so, therefore, that must have been what he meant. And it's obvious to him that that's what the case is, because there's no Erech Lekli. Aval behema, debat mikdashi, igad ameimar. So, an animal which is subject to hakdasha, well, you don't own it, so how are you going to be makdish it? Igad ameimar. This is what he meant to say. If I go and tell the owner to sell it to me, it'll be makadosh from this moment, and then I'll bring it on the mizbeach. So there you could reinterpret his words to be something meaningful. He's saying, listen, I'm makdish this animal if I can get my hands on this animal. So I need to go buy it in order to get it to be hekdesh. But that means you could bring meaning to his words that won't result in it being chayav to pay right now. So you might have thought that's the reinterpretation. But he's not really talking about value. Kamash Malan, that we don't say that. Kamash Malan, that we reinterpret his words to be something meaningful in an easy and more plausible way, which is that he meant to say value of the animal, not that he meant to say that I'm going to be makdishin in the retroactively, if I get my hands on it at this moment, that's not what he meant to say. And therefore, we reinterpret his words to be meaningful here, and he still gives damim. So that's the chiddush of Rav. You could have thought otherwise. So, Amar Abashi, Behu Damar Alai. That's only if he uses the word Alai, of Amar Harizu, lo. But if he says Harizu, not. So the way Rashi says it is, it's not clear here how to formulate it. This is what Rashi says here. And it's subject to machloket, because you can see the Gotabach takes the word demei out. Which says, Rashi reads, demei behemat chemerozu alai la'akriv. He says, the value of my friend's animal is on my responsibility to put on the mizbeach. Over there, there's no question. He said the word demei, then what's the question here? It seems obvious that he's donating it. So the Bach takes the word demei out, and says that this is the formulation. Behemat chemerozu alai la'akriv. My friend's animal is upon me to be makriv. So over there, that sounds like you're trying to be makdish the animal physically. Then we say, because you took the responsibility to get on the mizbeach, what you meant was, you were responsible to get the damim on the mizbeach. On the other hand, if you say, you say, this animal is an ola, doesn't work, because it's not yours. There, your words are so meaningless that even Rabbi Meir can't reinterpret them to be something meaningful. So that's the difference between alai, where you took a personal responsibility to get it there. That personal responsibility then extends to damim. If you take that personal responsibility, then we can speak about it being damim instead of the actual animal on mizbeach. But if you make a statement that this animal is an ola, then you can't reinterpret that to be damim. You didn't take any personal responsibility. You tried to make the animal itself an ola. There you can't say, well, he meant to make it damim. Make it damim isn't a meaningful statement. Damim is a personal responsibility that you're going to pay the money. That personal responsibility comes with the word alai. If you use the word alai, even though you didn't use the word damim, we're going to reinterpret it to mean damim, even though it sounded like you wanted to put the actual animal's back. But if you just say harizu olah, then we can't do anything with that. It's such a meaningless statement that even Rabbi Meir can't reinterpret it to be something that is meaningful. Next Mishnah. Ovid kochavim comes to non-Jews. Rabbi Meir Omer, nerach, he's subject to the tables of arachim, just took up his age and his gender, and you'll know what it is. Aval lo marich, he, the goy himself, can't donate someone else's erech to the mikdash, because he's not subject to the din of Torah of arachim. Arachin are tables for Bnei Yisrael when they want to donate, but he can be the object of an arachin because age, gender, that's all you need to know. Rabbi Yehuda says just the opposite. Omer, marich, the goy can be marich someone else, meaning a Jew or someone who is subject to the tables of arachin, which would be Jews. Aval lo nerach, he himself can't be the object of arachin. V'zeh v'zeh modim, shinodrim v'nidarim. They both agree that the goy can be the object of a neder and can be the subject, can be the noder himself. So he's like, he can donate money to the mikdash by saying whatever it is, committing to give the money, or saying that I'm going to give someone's value to the mikdash, or even his own value. And a Jew can say I'm going to give the value of this goy to the mikdash. That's because value is determined by your value on the market as a slave. That subject to both Bnei Yisrael and Ovdei Kochavim, that's an easy determination. Arachin or Gzeret HaKatuv, that there's a specific value that is associated with the age and gender. That Gzeret HaKatuv, how does it apply to the non-Jews? Now that is actually a question with regards to how to interpret the Psukim, which the Gemara is going to say right now. Tan Rabbanan, Bnei Yisrael Marichin, Bein Ovdei Kochavim Marichin. Bnei Yisrael can donate Erech to the Mikdash, Ovid Kochavim cannot. Yocholo Yeh Nerachin. You would think they can't be the object of a Neder Arachin. Tamalomar Ish. Divrei Rabbi Meir. What's being pointed out here is that the Torah has conflicting evidence as to whether a goy is included or not included. That's because it begins, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor. Who's that to say to? Obviously to Bnei Yisrael. Then the pasuk says, Daber El Bnei Yisrael. So there it sounds like only Bnei Yisrael are relevant by Parshat Arachin. Not anybody else. But then it says, Ramatalehem, Ish. Ish is a generic term, which would then include an Ovid Kochavim. So you have a tension over here between Bnei Yisrael and Ish. Question is, how do you resolve that tension? That's the Machloket Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir just told you. He thinks that the Beryl Bnei Yisrael is telling you that only Bnei Yisrael are Marich. They can initiate Arachin. But Ish is referring to the Ne'erach, the object of the Neder Arachin. That applies even to non-Jew. Amar Rabbi Meir. One of them is inclusive. One of them is exclusive, meaning Ish includes a goy. Bnei Yisrael excludes a goy. How did I know which one is which? How did I know that it can be the object of Arachin and not be the Marich? That's because the Torah makes more objects of the din of Arachin than those that can create or initiate Arachin. When it comes to this threesome that are inam bnei dat, nerach, they can be the object of someone's neder arachin, aval lo marichin, but they cannot initiate or create a neder erech. So just like over there, they can be on one side, not the other side, so too by the goy. That'll be the paradigm that teaches me that the goy can be the object of a neder arachin, but he cannot be the marich. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, bnei Yisrael nerachin, bein ovdei kochavim nerachin. Only Jews can be the object of a neder arachin, not non-Jews. You would think then that a non-Jew can't create arech, he can't say arech plon Yisrael alai, tamalomar ish. So again, he resolves the problem in the exact opposite way. I'm reviewed of Mikima Khash Mikra Khad Mirabeh. I have ish that's inclusive, Mikra Khad Mimahit, and I have the Pasuk of Bnei Yisrael, which is a miut, Mibnei Mani Omer, Ubi Kuchavim Marich, Malonerach. How do I know that an Ubi Kuchavim can generate arachin, but he cannot be the object of a erech. Mipnei, shribi ha-katuv, ma-marichim, yoter b'min arachim. Because there are people who can do arachin and not be the object of arachin. Sharei, tumtum androgynous, marichim. They're allowed to generate arachin. They can say erech ploni alai, and they'll be chayav to give it. Aval lo arachim. They can't be the object of a neder arachin because we said it has to be a zachar vadai and a nekeva vadait, so they're not the object. So each of them proposes a paradigm by where we see there's a difference between whether you can be marich or ne'erach, and each one of those paradigms, they say, then becomes the paradigm for what we do by a goy. Now what's interesting is the Rabbeinu Gershom does something very interesting over here. He says, why doesn't the Gemara say that when it comes to the logic of Rabbi Meir versus Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir says Cher Shotev Katan, which are three, and Rabbi Yehuda gives the example of Tumtum and Androgynos, which is two. So Rabbi Meir's logic should dictate irrespective because he has three versus two. So he answers two ways. One way is to say Cher Shotev Katan are only one big entity. They're always brought together in Shas, and their problem is the same problem, which is the La B'nei Dayan Inu. That's what we're going to say. So that's one thing. It's not really three different people. It's three different people representing the same category. So that's why it's not three versus two. Now, Tumtum and Androgynous may be for two different reasons. Tumtum might be a Safek, and Androgynous might be a Birir B'fnei Atzmo. So they actually might be two separate entities. And then he also says, Inami, or you can say that we have on the side of Tumtum and Androgynous, we have a much broader perspective, which is, Tumtum and Androgynous, not only can they make Arachin, they can be Marich, they can be Noder and be Nidar. So they apply to everything except being Ne'erach. Echer Shotev Katan, just like they're excluded from being Marich, they're also excluded from being Noder, because the same problem exists. So therefore, Tumtum and Androgynous are much more like the Goy. The Goy can do three of the things, which is, he can't be Noder and Nidar, everybody agrees to that, and he can do one more thing. So if you're gonna match him up with somebody, you would match him up with a Tumtum and Androgynous rather than a Echer Shotev Katan. It's much more similar. For that reason, he says that the three versus two does not trump over here. Amar Rava. Hilchoto de Rabbi Meir Mistavro. Rabbi Meir's halacha makes the most sense. Tamei lo Mistavro. But his reasoning does not make sense. I think the halacha should be like him, just that I don't think he has the right reason for why the halacha should be like him. Tamei de Rabbi Yehuda Mistavro. Rabbi Yehuda's explanation makes more sense, but hilchoto lo Mistavro. But the halacha shouldn't be like him. So he's basically saying, Rabbi Yehuda has a more logical argument, but the halacha should follow Rabbi Meir. Hilchoto de Rabbi Meir Mistavro. Why is it that the locha makes more sense like Rabbi Meir? Dichtiv, because it says in Ezra, Lo lachem velanu libnot et bayit lelokeinu. It's not for us and for you to build the house of God. This is when they come back to build the second Beit HaMikdash. The Tzarei Yehuda v'Binyamin want to help out with building the Mikdash. And Rashi claims it's Nehemiah who says it back to them. The truth is that in Nehemiah Perek Bet, there's also a statement by Nehemiah of the similar ilk. But over here, it seems to be that this is Zerubbabel and Yeshua that are there, that are saying this to the Tzarei Yehuda v'Binyamin, that we're not joint partners in the building of the Mikdash. It's our job to build the Mikdash, not your job to build the Mikdash. Or in essence, what they're doing is refusing donations from non-Jews. So you see that non-Jews can't make donations. So the halacha makes sense like him because non-Jews can't make donations. Therefore, he can't be the ma'arich. He can't be donating erech to the mikdash. But he can be the object of an arachin. Time alo mistabra, his reasoning doesn't make sense to come like le mecher shote v'katan. Because he brings cher shote v'katan as his examples, shiny cher shote v'katan, dela b'nei dayaninu. The reason they're excluded has nothing to do with the difference between marich and erach. Something has to do with that they're not capable of proposing arachin because they don't have dots. And they can't do it. A goy who has dots should be able to do it. Why is that a distinction that's meaningful in this case? It's a technical problem with the Chereshot of Katan. It's not a fundamental problem that would then indicate to us that a goy should have the same din. Time of the Rabbi Yehuda Mistavra. Rabbi Yehuda's understanding makes sense. Kamaitileit mi tumtum androgynous. He brings them tumtum androgynous. Va'avagav de bnei dayaninu. Even though they have the capacity to do it, Ma'itinu Rachmana, the Torah excludes them. So that makes sense with regards to then applying it to the Goy. The Goy is a Ben Dot, or a Bar Dot. If that's the case, then it should be similar to the Tumtum Androgynous, like the way we described in the Rabbeinu Gershom. They match up in three of the categories. It makes sense then to match them up fully. Hilchotolo Mistavro, the Locha doesn't make sense like Rabbi Yehuda, Dichtev Lo Lachem Lan Livnot, Bayit Lelokeinu. Because the Navi says you can't donate. You can't donate. It doesn't make so much sense. The halacha is like him. It says, Rabbi Yehuda, Hailo lachem lanu mayovid. What does he do with that pasuk? It's a serious challenge to his position here that goyim can be marichin. Now the truth is, the Bali Tosafot already pointed this out, that the same question should exist for Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that you can be no there. It says zeh v'zeh in the Mishnah. They agree that you can be no there. So now this pasuk might exclude someone who's being marich. But why should it then allow for no derim? So the question should be equally problematic, Rabbi Meir. I'm going to come back to that, but right now the Gemara only asks it on Rabbi Yehuda. Am Rabbi Chista, Am Rabbi Yimei, Verko Nignas. What Rabbi Yehuda means is that, yes, they can be Marich, but when they give the money in, we put it into Gniza. We don't really accept it. We toss it by the side, or maybe it's even Meshum Eva. We take the money, and then we throw it out the side door. We don't accept it. Ela Me'ata Aloyim Alubo. That's the case, then it should not be subject to Me'ilah, which means that they really don't have the capacity to make it into Hekdesh. We just accept it and we put it into Gniza. Because it's not. We have a Mishnah, Chamesh Chato'ot HaMeitot, the five Chato'ot that are subject to Mita. This is Aloha, the Moshe Mi'Sinai, that Kontinoto the Kippah, and we allow them to die by themselves because they are now disqualified from being Korbanot. It's a Mishnah and Murad that discusses which five Chato'ot we're speaking about. For example, Chatach Nitkapru Baleh, Chatach Avrashnata, Vlad Chatat, Murad Chatat. These are all examples of chatot that are meitot. And ma'ot, I will call the Yamamelech. If you have monies that were set aside for that particular purpose, the equivalent of having an animal die is to throw the monies into Yamamelech, which causes anything to disintegrate or to decompose. And therefore, throwing the monies into Yamamelech is the equivalent of allowing the money to die. So your monies of chatot, they go to Yamamelech. Lo ne'anim v'lo ma'alim. You can't get enough from it. And they're not subject to Mi'ilah. We'll see this when we get to the Gemarot in Temurah and in Mi'ilah, that as Rashi says, this is a code word for Midorabanan. Midoraita, if there's an Isra Anah, then there's also an Isra Mi'ilah associated with it. The Rabbanan sometimes made an Isra Anah, even though there's no Mi'ilah Doraita. So when we say Lo Ne'anim means Midorabanan, Lo Ne'anim, but no Mo'alim is because Midoraita, it's not subject to Mi'ilah. See, from that is when something is not ra'oi to be accepted by the Mikdash, then it is not subject to Mi'ilah. That would be the conclusion that we just read from this Mishnah in Temurah. There are Rishonim that disagree with Rashi and say that here it is even lo ne'anim midoraita. The special din with regard to these items that the Torah says they're not subject to Mi'ilah, even though they are asurim ba'ana. But the way Rashi explains it seems to fit more along the lines of where we see this concept of lo ne'anim v'lo ma'alim. So lama tanyo, then why do we have a brayta gabe kodshei ovdei kochavim? If an ovdei kochavim is being kodshim to the mikdash, where do we say that there's no din of mi'ilah by kodshei ovdei kochavim? Bamed v'arim omurim b'kodshei mizbeach. That is, b'kodshei mizbeach. That's what their korbanot that they're bringing to donate to the mikdash and put on the mizbeach. We are Moel Ben. So if you put the two things together, then you see that the Mishnah in Temurah tells you that when it doesn't belong to Hekdesh, when it's not accepted by Hekdesh, there's no Me'ilah. And then I have a Breita telling me that the monies or the Berekabayit of a Goy is subject to Me'ilah. What that means is that it's going to be accepted by the Mikdash. So you can't make the claim that it's Nignas, because then there would be no Mi'ilah. The fact that it's subject to Mi'ilah is evidence of the fact that it's accepted and taken by the Mikdash to be used for Bedek HaBayit. So how can you claim that it's Nignas? And obviously this is in the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Meir, you can't donate to the Mikdash. They're subject to the Pasuk in Nehemiah. Now, as Tosfos points out, this Braita is extremely difficult, because the Braita doesn't fit not according to Rabbi Yehuda and not according to Rabbi Meir. Because the Braita can't fit according to Rabbi Yehuda, because you told me that we don't accept their donations. So then what Mi'ilah are we speaking about? It also can't fit according to Rabbi Meir, because Ovdei Kochavim, we don't accept donations from them, not Arachim, not Nidorim. So then the problem is, who's this Braita according to? Even if you say it doesn't work according to this explanation of Rabbi Yehuda, it also doesn't work according to Rabbi Meir. And again, delay the answer to that question till we get a comprehensive answer to all these questions and the explanation of Rabbi Meir's Shita. And that's why this presents a problem. Since you can't explain the Braita according to Rabbi Meir, it must be Rabbi Yehuda. And according to your explanation that it's Nignas, it doesn't fit according to Rabbi Yehuda at all. So the Gemara says, Ella Amar Rabba. Ella means Rabba is going back against what we said. The easiest way to read this is Ella Amar Rabba. He's rejecting Rav Chista Amar Rav Yime, that Rabbi Yehuda believes that it goes into Gniza and is not used by Bedek HaBayit. He's rejecting that answer and saying, no, we really do accept the monies from the Goy. And now I have to explain to you that Pasuk in Nehemiah. That's one possibility. The other possibility is Ela Marova is Rava's backing away of his explanation of Rabbi Meir. And this is going to become very important based on the question I said before, which isn't there a problem for Rabbi Meir as well? So Ela Marova, Mishum Rifayon Yadayimhu. It's because the reason they refused to accept the monies there was not a fundamental reason. It was not a halachic reason. It was a political decision, which is they didn't want to have Rifayon Yadayim. Because, Dichtiv, Vayi Amaretz Mirapim Yidei Am Yehuda, the Amaretz, the people of the land, the people that were there, were weakening the hands of the people of Yehuda, Umivahalim Otam Livnot, and pushing them to build, in that they were trying to interfere with the building process in order either to stall for time till they could plead with Koresh to rescind his acquiescence to rebuild the Bayit HaSheni, and therefore they were trying to get involved in order to cause a stalling. That's either by they physically being involved and slowing down the process, or by their committing to make donations and then withholding the donations, or by their giving the donations, which would cause the people of Yehuda not to donate, and then that would slow down the process as well. So it was a particular problem in that setting and in that time that they did not accept it. But that is not a halachic principle that is applied more broadly. So according to Reb Yehuda, the pasuk over there is a din l'sha'ah. It was a one-time issue in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah that they had to deal with these foreigners that were trying to impede the building of the Mikdash. And because of that, they didn't accept their donations. Or another way to formulate it is that when you're starting out and you're building the fundamentals of the Mikdash, then you want it to come from Jewish donations. Once the Mikdash is up and running and things are functioning, then to accept the donation might be okay. But this was particular to the starting or the building of the Mikdash. So that's why that pasuk is not relevant. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that if a goy donates money, we accept it, whether it comes through Arachim, whether it comes through Nidarim. Nidarim, because there's nothing stopping him from doing a neder, we say we accept it. By Arachim, because he thinks he's included in the parshia of Arachim, because of Tumtum and Androgynous. The question is, what happens with Rabbi Meir? If Rabbi Meir really believes over here that the pasuk means that you can't take donations from a goy, then why does he only preclude them from the world of Arachim? He should also preclude them from the world of Nidarim. So Tosfot asked that question, as I noted before, why didn't the Gemara challenge Rabbi Meir here as well from our Mishnah, that he says that you can't be noder to the Mikdash? So he gives one answer, which he rejects. He says, "V'dochak l'faresh," and it's difficult to explain, "nodrin kamar l'mizbeach." And when it says here that nodrin, it means that they are noder l'mizbeach. Doesn't mean they give to Bet HaKavayit. It means that they can donate monies damim l'mizbeach. Now that is actually the way the Yerushalmi deals with the problem for Rabbi Meir. Tosfot says that's a dochak, and he doesn't think that's a good answer. "Olochora matznita dumya darachin." Because our Mishnah, when it says nodrin, it's in the context of Arachim. And just like Arachim go to Berek Abayit, so too the nodrin in the Mishnah must be speaking about going to Berek Abayit. The Shema Tov the Faresh, the Hadar Rav Hadar Beit Maskana Zo, Mihad the Mikara the Hilchot of Rabbi Meir, Mikra the Lolachem Belonu. Maybe Elam Rava is, Rava's going back or retracting his own statement. He said before the reasoning of Rabbi Meir is not from the Pasuk of Bnei Yisrael, tension between Bnei Yisrael and Ish. Rather, it's from Lo Lanu V'Lachem Livnot Bayit Lelokeinu. That was the source of Rabbi Meir. When you say Elam Rava, maybe Rava's backing away from that position. And even according to Rabbi Meir, the interpretation of that pasuk is Rifayon Yadayim. And then Rabbi Meir's source is really from the word Bnei Yisrael. Tosfot ends there. But if you go to Od Yud Chet in the Shita Mekubetzet, he continues the Tosfot and explains what that means. He says that the pasuk is definitely speaking about Rifayon Yadayim, and the Ovdei Kuchavim can be noder the Berek Abayit, the Davka Marachim Mimayit Lo Mikra de Yisrael. And only from Marachim are they excluded. Therefore, the Braita that says that Berek Abayit of a Goy, you're Mo'el in it, that is even according to Rabbi Meir. And that's going about Nidarim and not about Arachim. And now the way to explain it is, but didn't we say before that Rabbi Meir's reasoning doesn't make sense by Kereshote Vekadan, the Labnei Dat, you know? Then how does Rabbi have the look like Rabbi Meir? Demistavra mikra v'lolachem alanu, shemi v'yeya eli dugma be'alma. So what it shows you is lachria hasvara. That pasuk of lo lanu v'lachem, livnot bayit lelukenu, is a mare mokom on how we would treat situations. It's not the reason we would do it, but it is an indication that sometimes we don't allow the goy to give or donate. So just like there, he wasn't able to give or donate, so too in the world of Arachim, where I have a choice to exclude the goy from something, the thing I'm going to exclude him from is also the donating side. Because Giloy Milto Ba'alma Avdina Minei Akrad B'nei Yisrael. The pasuk from Ezra is a Giloy Milto as to which way it makes more sense to resolve the contradiction in the pasuk of B'nei Yisrael versus Ish to say that Marichim are excluded and Erachim are included. So that's how the Shita Mekubetzeh brings answers according to Rabbi Meir, how he separates between Neder and Arachim, because Nedarim are allowed, and he doesn't learn it out of Lo Lanu. Lo Lanu is just a Mari Mokom, that when I have a question as which way to go, I'm going to favor saying that the Marich, or the donator, is excluded, and not the object of that donation is excluded. And therefore then Rabbi Meir can fit into everything. He can also be the author of the Braita, because those are the things that they're allowed to donate, we do accept, and they are brought into the Mikdash, and therefore it's subject to Mi'ilah. There's an alternate answer brought, you can see that over there, there's a note on the side of the Tosafot, to look in the Tosafot Yom Tov, who quotes in the name of the Rambam, an alternative, which is that, Lo lanu v'lachem livnot bayit l'elokeinu, is a restriction against the Nachri, being a part of the Bedek HaBayit, or the Chazek at Yerushalayim. And therefore, if the Goy comes and donates, the Rambam in Perush HaMishnayot and in Mishnah Torah says, we check what his intent was. If his intentions were Avdat Yisrael, then Beit Din can use the monies for whatever they please, just not for Bedek HaBayit or the Chazek at Yerushalayim. If he says that I did it L'Shamayim, I donated them to God, Yiganzu, then they're put into Geniza. So that's the way that you would solve the problem according to Rabbi Meir's Shita, which is that this restriction is a specific restriction against Bedek HaBayit and against being a fundamental part of the buildings that are L'Shamayim along with the Jews, and therefore you'd have to check what the donation was for. Again, if it was L'Shem, then it would just go to Geniza. If it was L'Am Yisrael, then you use it for whatever purposes, excluding the purposes of L'Chazek, Bedek HaBayit, or Yerushalayim. In that way that it could fit even according to Rabbi Meir then, because those are the things that they're allowed to donate, we do accept, and therefore it's subject to Mi'ilah. All right, we're going to stop here on the bottom of Hey Amud Bet.